Today is Monday, June 9th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, kbo.fm on the web. This is your community radio. We have a few headlines today. In fact, we have an enormous number of headlines. It's one of those days when, while we were all sleeping through the Rose Parade, a lot was going on in the rest of the world. England does not spring to mind frequently alongside fracking, but fracking indeed, the sites are springing up under people's property, and £50 is all residents receive in compensation for their property, the value of their property tanking, no pun intended. Environmental protesters, however, on the weekend targeted David, no less a personage than David Cameron's home, as the government unveiled new powers to enable fracking to take place right underneath people's property. Long-standing trespass laws may be overturned to enable energy companies to explore for shale gas under homes without owner's permission. In response, Greenpeace activists turned Mr. Cameron's home in the hamlet of Dean, Oxfordshire, into a fracking site. A number of people out there, they offered to pay Mr. Cameron £50 in compensation for destroying his home, and they will try to get them on the line, and if not today, then definitely tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. And our guest today is David Lewis. He is an extraordinary figure, one that if you follow whistleblower stories, you'll know his name. David Lewis is with the National Whistleblower Center in D.C. But what he has discovered recently is something that farm people have known for a while. The U.S. EPA's 503 sludge rule currently allows application of treated sewage sludges. And of course, the euphemisms around sludge have blossomed, as it were. As you'll often hear to the stuff referred to as biosolids. That doesn't sound bad. It sounds like something you might find on the shelf at the Freddy's. So biosludges have been applied to farms, forests, parks, get this, schools, playgrounds, homes, and gardens. Biosolids are the insoluble wastes that settle out at water treatment plants. They contain complex mixtures of industrial chemicals, heavy metals, mercury, phthalates, flame retardants. The list goes on, and David Lewis is going to cover some of that for you and let you know where you can find out more, because this is important. This impacts all of our lives. We've got a couple other headlines briefly just to hit on before we speak with Dr. Lewis. First up, the CA is getting playful. They have now their own Facebook and Twitter account, and of course we could tell you how to get in touch with them, but if we did, we'd have to kill you. Threats against the family of former prisoner Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. This whole episode has been blown way, way out of proportion. Everyone had years and years to come out with the stuff that he was a deserter and he was a traitor and all of this. It had, 5 years to come up with this? They easily could have been screaming this for the rooftop, but they waited till now. Gee, I wonder why. And now their family is receiving death threats. Billionaire Democratic donor and environmental activist Tom Steyer opened a new front on Wednesday in his campaign to derail the Keystone XL project. Steyer is commissioning a study of the oil pipeline's vulnerability to terrorism. Bingo. Thank you very much, Mr. Steyer. And the state board approved a new... Back to returning briefly to Oregon before we go to our final news headline, which is, I consider, very important. The state board here in Oregon approved a new salmon and steelhead management plan on last Friday for the Oregon coast. It trims the introduction of hatchery salmon and steelhead on just a very few rivers to reduce the likelihood that they will interbreed with wild fish. Well, it's a little bit too late. The fish is out of the barn, so to speak, and this is one thing that we will not be able to clean up, and we have no idea what the downstream consequences of this move will engender. Managing fish in the first place is a term that should never ever have come into being. And finally, at the same time, in there was an event in Israel. It was Israel's first Burning Man festival. They called it Midburn. They modeled it after, of course, Burning Man at Black Rock. Midburn brought about 3,000 people to dance around semi-naked and swing around it with hoops and sculptures and art cars and so forth, while Bedouin Arab shepherds whose entire lives, rich ancient culture which has been destroyed, watched from beyond a fence. At the same time, too, of course, this event took place just a scant couple of miles from the tomb of Ben-Gurion, famously Ben-Gurion, the founder of modern Israel, who said, the old will die and the young will forget, describing how they plan to manage the PR around genocide. While this was going on, a Palestinian fisherman who was recently shot, critically injured by the Israeli Navy, died. So, while they're shooting innocent Palestinian fishermen, they're dancing around in the desert and invoking the spirit of Burning Man. And now, finally, I did want to get through some of those. There's a whole lot more where that came from. David, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning to you, Chris. I'm happy to be on the air.
We are delighted to welcome you to the KBOO airwaves as a whistleblower, as a researcher in a field which is murky, to say the least. Would you talk a little bit about what the EPA faked, the entire science of sewage sludge? How did they go about doing this, and with what intent?
At the time, and this we're talking about around 1992, I was a research microbiologist for EPA's Office of Research and Development, and I began to work on a problem which I'm sure most listeners recall back to the time when the EPA was created to solve problems with primarily water pollution, the pollution of lakes and streams and rivers and the oceans from industrial waste. So at that time, which was around 1970, a decision was made to take the pollutants out of the water, stop a lot of the industrial pollution going into the rivers and lakes, for example, and instead put that material into sewage treatment plants where it would be mixed with human sewage that would settle out, and the sludge that settles out at the waste treatment plants then would contain all of these toxic pollutants. So the question came up what to do with all of the millions and millions of tons of sewage sludge with high concentrations of chemical pollutants, what to do with that, what would become of it. And the decision was made to put it upon the land for a cheap fertilizer or even free fertilizer given away by the cities. Well, the problem with that, and at the time, scientists such as myself throughout EPA objected to that decision because what our concern was is that these same pollutants that were once in the water and also contaminate the air, which are known to be dangerous to public health, would actually exist in the sewage sludge in about a million times higher concentrations. So many of the pharmaceuticals, drugs that are produced by the pharmaceutical companies, for example, that once went in the water that are present at parts per billion or parts per billion levels, now exist in the sewage sludge at part per million concentrations, which is a million times higher. So to take that material with such concentrated levels of pollutants and put it on farms and school playgrounds and so forth actually exposes the general population to even higher concentrations of pollutants. The only way that that could be done was to silence all of the scientists at EPA.
They went after you, didn't they?
They did, because and any other scientist who documented health problems. Once the material began to be spread out on the land, people complained about getting sick. A number of people died. And so those cases were being swept under the rug. And EPA and the industry got together to basically generate a lot of scientific studies to claim falsely that sewage sludge, or biosolids as it's called, euphemistically, is safe, when in fact it's not. And so they covered up previous studies that had shown that the material was toxic to humans and animals and began publishing with tens of millions of dollars in congressional funding to universities. With that kind of funding, they had no problem rounding up scientists willing to publish papers in the scientific literature saying that sewage sludge or biosolids is safe. So that's what has happened over the last 30 years. Now, today, there are hundreds and hundreds of scientific articles saying that sludge is safe, when all of the work done by scientists such as myself that documented illnesses and deaths, the scientists have been fired and the science has been covered up.
So this is, there are supposedly, the Obama administration supposedly has established some protections for people who work in the public sector when they step forward and blow the whistle on misconduct. But government employees don't enjoy such protections, and really private citizens don't in actual fact either. But did you find there was any protection at all for you when you came forward and reported on this collusion between the EPA and private industry?
No, there is no real protection for government employees any longer. When I first began publishing papers in Nature and other leading science journals on this problem, there was some small degree of protection. And in fact, the U.S. Congress held two hearings in the retaliations against me and my laboratory director over this issue and passed a law called the No Fear Act, which was passed by Congress in 2002 to supposedly better protect federal research scientists. But that law was, at the last minute, the Senior Executives Association, which represents senior government managers, got a little sentence put into that bill that said nothing in the law could be used against government managers.
Hang on there. We're flat out of time, and I regret that terribly. But before we let you go, could you give listeners the website to find out more about what exactly happened here?
Yes, it's simply Research Misconduct. That's one word, researchmisconduct.org. So just go to www.researchmisconduct.org. .org, and you will find my website.
David, thank you so much. You've been very, very generous with your time. Thank you so much for your courage as well. This
thank
has been
you.
Air Cascadia for Monday, June 9th, 2014. Joe Clement, engineer of the show today. Thanks for that, Joe. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Free them all, free them all. What's they call? Free them all, free them all.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Free Them All, a benefit to support political prisoners, on Saturday, June 14th, at 7 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. Free 'Em All is an evening of music, dance, spoken word, and political remix, featuring David Rovex, international folk singer-songwriter, and emceed by KBOO's own Mike Crenshaw. Again, that's Free 'Em All, a benefit to support political prisoners, on Saturday, June 14th,